This is Movies for the Blind, episode 296, Holiday, part 1 of 3. Hi, and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. We're starting a film that was remade into one of my favorites. That later film was one of the great collaborations of Katharine Hepburn and Cary Grant, though possibly one of their less well-known. Like one of their best-known, The Philadelphia Story, it was based on a hit Broadway play written by Philip Barry. But the first adaptation of the play was just a couple years after it hit the stage, at the dawn of talkies, starring one of my favorite, rather obscure actresses, Anne Harding, in the role Hepburn, another of my faves, would play several years later. From 1930, this is Holiday. Pathé presents Holiday. Produced by E.B. Durr. Directed by Edward H. Griffin. Based on the play by Philip Barry. Photoplay by Horace Jackson. Editor-in-Chief Eugene Walter. Photographer Norbert Brodin. Musical director Josiah Zura. Film editor Daniel Mandel. Art director Carol Clark. Costumes Gwen Wakeling. Sound engineers D.A. Cutler, Harold Stein. Players: Anne Harding, Mary Astor, Robert Ames, Hallam Cooley, Creighton Hale, Elizabeth Forrester, Edward Everett Horton, Hedda Hopper, William Holden, Mabel Forrest, Monroe Owsley. A car speeds through the open gates of an estate, where another car is parked in front of huge arches. The second car parks behind it. A chauffeur leaves another in the first car and walks back to the second, opening a door. A man climbs out, then helps out a woman.
Good morning, William.
Good morning, Miss Eaton.
Is Father home?
He and Mr. Ned walked to church. We're waiting for Miss Linda.
Oh, come in a minute, will you, darling?
Sure. Wave in her, please.
Bring my bags in, William.
Miss Seaton and the man head up front steps to a butler, who steps aside for them to enter, followed by Williams with two suitcases. Walking through an elegant foyer, Miss Seaton opens her coat, and the man gazes around. She pauses at the bottom of staircases and glances back at him.
Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Miss Julia.
She looks at her guest studying the floor. Julia approaches James, the butler, who takes her coat.
It's good to see you back again, Miss Julia.
Thanks, James.
Holding his hat, the guest takes off his coat. He hands them to James, who lays everything on a bench.
Oh, will you ask Miss Minna to step into the third floor sitting room, please?
Yes, miss.
James opens a sliding door as she smiles at the guest.
Go on, all aboard.
What? Oh, yes.
He follows Julia through the open doorway, which James slides closed. She and her guest are in an elevator, where she presses the third floor button. Then she smiles at her guest.
Hello, sweet.
Hello.
They kiss. Glancing around, he presses the stop button.
Oh, but Johnny, they'll think something's the matter with it.
He kisses her.
Elevator.
Well, let him.
They kiss again.
Johnny, Johnny, mind your manners.
She presses the third floor button.
In elevators, anyway.
Hey, but what is this place? Where are we?
Where I live. Don't you like it?
What?
When the elevator stops, Julia reaches across him to open the door.
Good morning,
Miss Eaton.
They enter a grand hallway, which Johnny gazes at with curiosity. Julia watches him as Charles leaves.
Well, now where am I?
I've just told you where I live.
I didn't know people lived at railway stations.
He cups his hands around his mouth.
A very bad echo.
Then listen, you stop criticizing this place or I'll call the bouncer.
The bouncer?
The bouncer.
She leads him through double doors.
Oh, what have we here?
A sitting room with well-appointed furniture and a fireplace with a large painting over the mantel. As Julia takes off her cloche hat to reveal her short dark hair, Johnny steps to windows and moves a curtain aside to look out. He turns to her.
But Julia, you must all be so rich. You should have told me.
Why? Would it have made any difference?
Well, I should say so. Why did I ask you to marry me in 2 days instead of 10?
He sits down.
Aren't you funny, Johnny, to talk about it?
Well, why? If I'd suddenly found out you could play the piano, I'd be delighted, wouldn't I?
She sits with him.
Is having money like knowing how to play the piano?
Well, they're both very pleasant accomplishments in a girl. How'd you decide I'd do?
I fell in love with you, silly.
Same here.
He gives her a quick kiss.
But you know awfully little about me. I am a man of the people. I started life with these two hands.
She takes one of them and looks at the painting.
So did the gentleman over the fireplace. Take heart from Grandfather Seeky.
He looks at the painting and stands, stepping toward it.
You wouldn't tell me you're those Seekins.
Forgive us, Johnny, but we are.
It's too much. Oh, let's not let the fun go out of it. Why do we have to spill it so soon?
Oh, but I have to tell Father. It would be different if Mother were alive. I could break it gently through her, I suppose. But as it is...
Eventually, I know, but why the rush?
But Johnny...
She stands.
I thought you wanted to be married as soon as possible.
I do.
Well, that's another place Father comes in.
You know, I just hate the thought of sitting down with a man and being practical about you.
But, darling, we can't just go wandering up snowy mountains and through pine woods the rest of our lives, you know.
We can do better than that. Come here.
She steps closer to him.
Now, kiss me. Several times, please.
With a nod. She gives him little kisses around his mouth.
Is that all right?
All right, Angel. It's perfect.
As they embrace, the double doors open and a woman enters.
Julia, for shame, Julia.
She smiles and steps closer.
Is this any way to spend Sunday morning? How are you, darling? Did you have a nice trip?
Oh, best trip ever, dear.
They kiss cheeks.
Who's your partner? Anyone I know?
She turns to him.
Why, this is Mr. Case, my sister Linda.
Well, how do you do?
Well, thanks. And you?
Couldn't be better.
Johnny Case, his name is. I'm going to marry him.
Step around here in the light, will you, Case?
He does, as Linda gazes at him.
But I've never even seen you before.
Neither had I until 10 days ago at Placid.
You're not a guy.
No.
This younger generation. Well, young man, I hope you realize what you're getting in for.
That's pleasant.
Oh, I don't mean you, darling. You're divine. I mean, Father and Cousin Seton Cram and Laura. The rest of the outlying Setons. And the general atmosphere of overflowing wealth with Papa sitting on the lid.
Johnny will try to bear up, won't you, Johnny?
I'll do my best.
But how did you two get together? Come on, tell Linda everything.
Well, I'll tell you.
They all sit.
You see, I was walking along the road one morning, when who should I see but this...
Whom should I see but?
When who should I see but this young man coming along carrying snowshoes? I spoke to him and said, I suppose you don't realize it, but your nose is frozen. And he said, no, I hadn't realized it. And I said, well, it is. And he said, I don't suppose there's anything you personally can do about it.
Fred.
And I picked up some snow and started rubbing his nose with it.
Fancy that, a downright pickup. Romance. Go on. So then you swept her off her snowshoes, huh?
Yes. It was touch and go with us.
I like this man. Does Father know about it yet?
No.
Oh, he'll never forgive you if you don't tell him now.
Oh, we're going to elope.
No, we're not. Now that's where you come in. When do you think I ought to break the news?
Julia smiles as she glances away.
I know.
Know what?
When to tell him.
She pulls Julia to stand.
We're going to church.
Johnny stands.
What for?
Oh, don't worry. Not you.
Oh.
Come on.
But I have to change, dear.
Oh, we have time.
Well, Father, I have to step on it.
Linda leads her sister out, with Johnny following. They cross the hall to the elevator.
You better take the elevator or you'll get lost.
She presses the call button.
And don't forget to be here for luncheon.
A Case never forgets luncheon.
And remember, you haven't been here this morning.
All right, I'll run along home.
See you later, Case.
Right.
Then you'll have to hurry.
Oh, I know.
He goes into the elevator as the sisters walk away arm in arm. After changing clothes, Julia hurries through her bedroom suite.
What are you after now?
She gets gloves from a drawer.
Are you sure Father will like Johnny?
Well, he will if he has any sense. Are you certain church is the place to tell him?
Oh, of course. He can't say anything in church.
I suppose
you have to cool off before he starts objecting. That's the main thing.
I suppose you're right, dear. You always are.
Well, I think I am about this. Come on now. Just take Sister Linda's hand and let's get started.
A maid opens a door and they leave. Soon after, the cathedral is full of worshippers as the service begins. Julia and Linda reach a pew near the front. They each bow, Linda bowing more, and go into the pew, where Julia sits beside an older man. She and Linda then kneel with eyes closed. Julia sits again beside her father and kisses his cheek, while Linda sits on her other side. Julia nods to a man on his other side. Sisters settle in. When Julia turns to her father, Linda nudges her, mouthing that she wait. Julia bites her lip. When Linda receives the collection plate from an usher, she nudges Julia to talk to father. She does. Linda puts cash on the plate.
Home, is he? He's in the home. I know Sam Hobson. Before.
Linda quickly hands him the collection plate. Distracted, he reaches into a pocket. The man on the other side touches his arm. Father holds out the plate to him, and he puts in cash. Father hands the plate back to Linda, who hands it to the usher. Linda shushes him, glancing toward the service, and Father backs down. Julia stifles a smile. Later at home with the man.
Ned, you haven't any right to say things like that. He's the first one I've ever picked. Waiting to see him.
I think you're both hysterical over this fellow.
Oh, Ned, he's really divine.
Well, we don't need a saint in this family.
Johnny enters the sitting room.
Johnny, you're early.
Too soon?
Oh, don't be silly. Oh, no. Charles, would you ring this room twice when Mr. Seaton comes in, please?
Very well, miss.
This is my brother Ned, Mr. Keith.
Oh, how do you do? How do you do?
They shake hands.
I expect father will be a job. When do they do battle?
Before luncheon, I suppose.
Blonde Linda approaches Johnny.
I'm afraid you're going to need a little coaching.
Well, I'll be grateful for anything in this trouble.
All right, let's assume that you're interviewing our stern parents. Sit down, young man.
Oh, thank you, sir.
He sits beside Julie as Linda looms over him.
Now, have you anything at all but your winning way to your credit?
Really, Mr. Seaton, I have, not a thing.
Oh, hasn't he, though?
The first thing Father will want to know is how are you fixed?
Fixed?
Fixed. Are you a man of means? And if so, how much?
Linda.
Be still, beauty. I know you'd hardly expect that of a man in father's position, but the fact of the matter is, money is our god here.
Linda, I'll... Johnny, that isn't true at all.
No? What is then?
Well, young man?
I have in my pocket now exactly $34 and a package of cigarettes. Will you have one?
Thanks.
Linda sits with him and accepts a cigarette.
But, no.
He lights it for her.
No, gilt-edged securities? No, rolling woodland?
Well, I have a few shares of common stock tucked away.
Common? Don't even say the word. No, Julia? I'm afraid it won't do.
She stands.
He's a comely boy, but just another in the vast army of clockwatchers.
How are you, socially?
Nothing there, either.
What? You mean to say your mother wasn't even a hoosier?
Not even that.
You must know some prominent people. Drop a few names.
For instance...
Oh, just casually. When I was to Mrs. On the Donk's bullfight last night, whom should I see but Mrs. Carrara Marble? Well, really, I thought she'd die laughing. This is a lot of rot.
Julia stands.
I'm having a grand time.
And she says to me, Johnny, she calls me Johnny.
Linda, will you be quiet? What on earth has set you off this time?
But it's dreadful, Julia. Just what do you think you're going to prove with Edward Seaton? Financier and cotillion leader.
Well, when I find myself in a position like this, I ask myself, what would General Motors do? Then I do the opposite.
Laughing, Linda sits with him again.
I wonder what's keeping Father.
Don't hurry him. He said he ought to stop to see Sam Hobson about something.
You.
I hope I get a good character. Anyone like a drink?
Well, if it goes through all right, are you really going to make it quick?
Yeah.
Then the next month.
Okay. Cocktails aren't allowed at midday, so just before luncheon's announced, I'll ask you if you'd care to brush up. Guess what I'll say.
Julia goes to the windows.
It's Father.
They stand.
Don't weaken.
She goes to Johnny.
Johnny, you going up to Ned's room. You haven't arrived yet.
Well, listen, this is getting complicated. When do I arrive?
1 o'clock.
She checks Linda's watch.
1:45 now. Go on, do as you're told.
Yeah, but listen.
Take it, Ned.
Listen, you saucy.
Go on, Case. Don't expect simplicity here. Just think of all our Fifth Avenue frontage.
Go on now. Step on it, Ned.
Johnny and Ned go to the double doors. As they leave, Linda looks into the fireplace.
You do like him, don't you?
She asked me if I like him. My dear girl, do you realize that life walked into this house this morning?
They hold each other.
Marry him quick before Father starts the old cry, you're being married for your money.
That's always flattering, isn't it?
Well, stand your ground, Julia. If you don't know your own mind by now, you haven't got a mind. Now, you name your date and stick to it, I'm telling you.
I want Father to see that Johnny has the self-same qualities that Grandfather had.
They look at the painting.
And there's no reason why he shouldn't arrive just where Grandfather did. It'll be awful to leave you.
I don't know just what I'll do when you go. I'll have to do something. Get out, quit on it, change somehow, or I'll go mad. I could curl up and die right now.
Linda sits and lowers her head.
Why, darling.
Patting Julia's hand, she looks up at her and stands.
Why, my foot? I don't look sick, do I? Oh, if I could only get warm in this barn.
She returns to the fireplace.
Don't you worry about me. I'm all right. You look out for yourself now. And when big business comes in here, see to it you don't let him talk.
Father enters.
But by a strange coincidence, here he is now.
He goes through newspapers.
Did you see Mr. Hobson, Father?
Well, of course, my dear. But there are other things to be considered. We must find out something about this young man's background.
Oh, the boy has loads of charm, Father.
Charm?
He grimaces and turns to the paper. Ned returns.
I suppose it's solid merit you're after. Well, the rumor is he's got that, too. A sterling chap on the whole. He's a catch, in fact.
Father, what did Mr. Hobson say?
We must find out more about this young man's background.
But what did he say?
He keeps looking through the papers. As Ned sits down.
Ned, pardon me.
He's sitting with part of the paper.
Have you the financial section of the Times?
No, I try to take Sundays off when I can.
Which reminds me, I should like you to make a practice of remaining at the office until 6 o'clock.
Well, there's nothing for me to do after 3. I'm not going to fake a lot of...
Didn't you understand me, Ned?
All right.
Father.
He turns to Julia.
What did Mr. Hobson say about Johnny?
His report was not at all unfavorable.
That must have been a blow.
But what did he say?
Julia, we must find out more about this young man. He seems to have some business ability. In fact, he's put through what looks like a very successful reorganization of Seaboard Utilities. He holds some of the stock. But we must find out more about Mr. Case's people. His connection.
Father, if you reach for a social register, I shall cry out with pain.
Of course, he doesn't realize that you've spoken to me as yet.
Julia glances at Linda.
Oh, Julia works fast, but not that fast.
Well,
Julia.
I don't propose to allow the subject of an engagement to come up in my first talk with him. I think I'm quite competent to direct the conversation. Julia, you and Ned may excuse yourself on one pretext or another, but I should like you to remain, Linda.
Charles enters.
Mr. Case wishes to be announced, sir.
Yes.
Charles steps back out. As the sisters hold hands and Father sits with Ned, Linda pats Julia's hand to calm her.
Keep a stiff upper lip, Father. No doubt the fellow is a fortune hunter.
Father.
Johnny arrives.
Oh, here you are.
Here I am.
Father stands.
My father, Mr. Case.
How do you do, Mr. Case?
How do you do, sir?
They shake hands.
This is my daughter, Linda.
Oh, yes.
An unexpected pleasure.
And my son, Ned.
They shake hands.
How do you do? I recall the face, but the figure puzzles me.
Julia, if you and Ned will do the telephoning I spoke of, Linda and I will try and entertain Mr. Case until the others come, won't we, Linda?
Sure, I'm game. Coming, Ned?
Sit down, Mr. Case.
Well, thank you, sir.
He sits.
I wonder what we'd do without the telephone.
Ned leaves with Julia, and Father sits with Johnny.
Mercy of the weather these days.
Yes, yes, we are.
In business in New York?
Yes, I'm in the law. I'm with Sloan Hobson.
Sloan Hobson. Excellent. Excellent firm. A born New Yorker?
No, I was born in Baltimore in 1898, July 6th.
Baltimore. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I had several very warm friends in Baltimore. The Whites. The Clarence Whites. Possibly you know them.
No, I don't believe I ever did.
But then there was Archie Fuller's family.
Well, you see, I haven't been there in some years, and I probably wouldn't have known them anyway. My mother and father died when I was quite young. See, my father had a small grocery store in Baltimore, which he was never able to make much of a go of. He left a number of debts which my mother worked hard to clear up. I was the only child, and I wasn't in a position to be of much help. My mother died the May before my 16th birthday.
How sad.
Yes.
Linda watches and listens.
I hadn't any connections except for an uncle in Wilmington who was in the roofing business.
Father glances away with distaste.
He wasn't much good, though. Was inclined to get drunk. Still is.
We've got an uncle like that. But he keeps off roofs.
Well, I was what was known as a bright boy, and I managed to wangle a couple of scholarships. They helped a good deal during school and college. Then there were always plenty of ways to make up the difference. During term time, I ran eating joints and typed lecture notes. In the summer, I sold aluminum pots and pans.
Linda, are you listening?
Or worked at a factory or on a newspaper. Once I got myself engaged as a tutor. That was pretty unpleasant. Then there were department stores at Christmas and florist shops at Easter. During law school, I slept all night on a couch in a doctor's office and got $15 a week for it. That was soft.
Admirable.
The men stand.
Well, is there anything else I can tell you about myself, Mr. Seaton?
What? Well, that is to say,
well, then how about it?
About what?
About Julia and me.
You and Julia? I'm afraid I...
About our getting married.
Well, this is a complete surprise to me, Mr. Case. I don't quite know what to say to you.
Well, yes would be pleasant.
Ned and Julia return.
No, you at all.
Well, I'll give you every opportunity if you'll permit me.
Well, you must lunch with me sometime. Julia, Ned, what in the world can be keeping Seaton and Laura?
I think Mr. Sloan and Mr. Hobson might say a good word for me. I'm nobody much as things go, but I'm quite decent and fairly civilized. And I love your daughter very much, which isn't a bit hard. She seems to like me quite a lot, too. That's about all that can be said for me. Except that I think we've got a simply grand chance to be awful happy. What do you say, Julia?
Oh, so do I.
Oh, come on, Father. Be an angel. I think he's a very good number.
Dear, I'm afraid this is altogether too important a matter to be decided offhand.
Oh, but I want to be married.
Julia, you'll be married when I've reached a favorable decision and upon a day which I will name. And we let it rest at that for the time.
Oh, but you'll come around, Father. I've got a simply swell hunch that you'll come around. And what fun. Let's all join hands and...
Well, that must be Seaton and Laura now.
You bet it is. Let's not join hands.
She turns away as a couple enters.
Hello, hello. I do hope we're not late, Uncle Ned.
Oh, indeed.
You're early. No. Come with you, my dear. You're back.
Laura kisses Julia's cheek.
Linda, how simple.
Oh, careful, Laura, careful. I've got the most terrible cold. Oh.
She coughs and sits.
Hello, Ned.
Hello. Mr. Case, this is my nephew, Mr. Cram, and Mrs. Cram.
Well, how do you do?
How do you do?
How do you do?
Johnny shakes Seaton's hand.
Oh, Ned, aren't you going to brush up before luncheon?
Would you care to brush up before lunch, Case?
Oh, yes.
He looks at his hands.
Yes, I think I shall, if I may.
They leave as Linda stands.
Julia?
Oh, I'm all right, thanks, dear.
But look at me, will you? Simply covered with dust. Now, how do you... Wait, boys, wait. Linda's coming.
She hurries out after them.
Laura, I'm going to marry that man.
Julia!
Well, that's news.
His name is Case. Mm-hmm. Oh, is he one of the Chicago Cases?
Well, I don't know, dear. I don't think so.
Well, aren't there some Cases in Boston?
In another room.
You don't think they'll think we walked out on them?
We've been trying to convey that impression for years.
Ned picks up a cocktail shaker and leaves the room.
Wait a minute.
I don't suppose you realize it.
Linda sits.
But you're rather a strange bird in these parts, Case.
How's that?
Oh, you should see the kind of men we have around here most of the time. Where have you been?
Working hard.
What about those little jaunts to the Adirondacks? Come clean, Case.
That's the first holiday I've ever had.
Johnny sits.
But I mean to live someday. Pretty soon now. Johnny's dream.
Case, you astonish me. I thought you were a willing worker.
I am. When I can get what I'm working for.
What would that be?
Mine's a simple story. I want to save part of my life for myself. There's a catch to it, though. It's got to be part of the young part.
Oh, you'll never get on and up that way.
All right, but I want my time while I'm young. And let me tell you, the minute I get my hands on about 20 nice round thousands, I'm going to do nothing for as long as they last and...
Quit?
Quit. Retire young and work old. That's what I want to do.
Play while the playing's good, huh?
It isn't only that I want to have fun, and I don't want to loaf either. I want to take a holiday. and make sure that the thing I do for the rest of my life is what I want to do more than anything in the world.
Grand. Does Julia know about it?
No. No use getting our hopes up until it happens. Don't tell her, will you?
Ned returns.
Yeah, I wouldn't try any enlightened living stuff on this family if I were you, Case.
Oh, please try it, Johnny Case. Please try it. Julia has enough of her own right now for two, or for ten, for that matter. Grandfather did us pretty pretty.
Thanks, but I've got to do myself. Only just pretty enough.
Ned smiles.
I see. That's foolish, but you're all right, Case. You haven't been bitten, nope. You've not been caught by it.
By what?
The reverence for riches.
You're a funny girl.
Funny, am I? What about you, you big stiff?
He stands.
Shakes it.
They do.
I mean funny in a flattering sense.
Julia enters.
Oh.
Haven't you brushed up yet? Julia.
We couldn't without you.
How's Father?
Ned pours.
Oh, he's recovering, I think.
She accepts a drink and sits.
I want to announce it right away, so that if Father...
Oh, I've got a swell hunch Father'll come around. Julia, let me give a party for it, will you? Not Father, me.
Why, of course, dear, that would be charming.
Father's to have nothing to do with it. Oh, let's have some fun in this house before you leave it.
Why, Linda?
I mean it. Let me, won't you?
If Father doesn't mind.
No ifs about it at all. And just a few people. Very informal. Not a bank of pink roses and no string quartet during supper. All I want for entertainment is just one good tap dancer. Oh, let me give it for you. Let me do something for you once. Just me, Julia.
Why, I'd love it, dear. Really, I would.
It won't be a ball. It'll be just a simple sit-down supper. And you know where? In the old playroom.
Oh, but... But don't you think...
No, that... because that's the only room in this house anybody ever had any fun in. Oh, Julia, this is important to me. No one must touch my party but just me.
Julia smiles.
I'll telephone people and we won't send out engraved invitations.
To Linda's party. No engraved invitation.
They toast and drink. Later, an engraved invitation reads, Miss Linda Seaton at home. On Friday, the 31st of December at 10 o'clock. Dancing. The ballroom is filled with elegantly dressed people dancing and chatting. Julia dances politely with an older, balding gentleman. Johnny dances, struggling with a polite smile, with a matronly woman. When the two couples pass each other, Johnny and Julia touch briefly. Off the dance floor, Ned stands with a drink.
Hello, Ned. How are you?
Hello, Jim.
Ned?
Well, Father, quite a circus.
You know where Linda is?
Haven't the slightest idea.
Ned walks away as Father looks around.
Hello, Edward.
Oh, hello, Jack. How are you?
Charming party.
Thank you.
Where's Linda? I understood she was to be our hostess.
I believe she has a severe headache. I think she'll put in an appearance later, a little later.
Oh, I hope so, I'm sure.
Elsewhere.
Cigarette, Julia?
Oh, no thanks, Pete. That'll be so.
Laura?
No thanks. And there are so many other things that I must tell you. You don't know how much I can do. We both can do for you. After all, there's no reason why either you or Johnny should do anything that Seaton and I, because of our experience, could do more easily than you. The wedding, particularly. I can take practically the whole responsibility. I've been matron of honor I don't know how many times. And you know, dear, that Seaton has been a part of every important wedding in New York.
That's true. You're both dears, and it's awfully sweet of you. And I'd be glad if you...
Of course, we're very happy to do everything we can.
Oh, yes, Julia. And who's to be Johnny's best man?
Well, I don't know, Laura.
It should be someone important.
Yes, of course.
I wouldn't suggest Seaton for best man, certainly. But it would look awfully well if Seaton stood up with him. You understand what I mean, dear.
Yes, dear.
Johnny approaches.
Oh, Johnny. Seaton and Laura are going to be such a help to us, dear.
Oh, that's splendid.
And Johnny should spend as much time with Seaton as possible before you two go away.
Yes, I'm only too willing, Johnny, to arrange my appointment.
Well, thanks, but I'm pretty busy, you know.
And you talk to Johnny about the idea, the best man. It's awfully lovely.
Hello. Julia, how lovely you look. But whatever's the matter with Linda, Julia?
Why isn't she here?
Oh, a dear friend of hers is very ill. Is expected to pass on tonight, in fact. You know Linda. But we hope Linda will be able to join us presently.
Well, I hope so.
The couple walks off.
But, Laura, I've told everyone Linda has a headache.
But I had to say something. Besides, everybody's been asking where she is.
I must see Ned a minute.
Julia walks away.
Oh, well, Johnny, aren't you going to dance?
No, I don't think so, no.
Johnny gets away as Julia finds Ned.
Ned, what can we do? Father is furious about Linda.
Not unusual.
Ned, wait a minute. It's her party.
Don't make me laugh, Julia. It was, maybe, until you and Father took it over.
I did.
You stood by and saw it done. Then the crams got hold of it. Among you, you invited the whole bunch. You knew it was just what Linda didn't want. Altogether, you made Linda's funny little bust into a first-class funeral. Can't say I blame her. No. However, drink to Linda.
Well, I blame her.
He drinks.
She should have realized that Father can't announce my engagement without some fuss.
She should have, yes. But unlike me, Linda always hopes. Bottoms up to Linda.
You've been drinking steadily since 8 o'clock.
Darling sister, I shall drink as much as I like at any party I agree to attend. And as much as I like, and as much as I can hold.
She turns away.
It's my protection against your tiresome friend. Linda's out of luck. She hasn't any protection.
Hello, Ned.
Julia smiles.
Hello, Johnny. Having a good time? You liar. Great.
Ned walks away unsteadily.
Johnny, I wish something could be done about Ned.
Apparently a lot of things go on inside him that we've no idea of. Linda must be at the end of some rope or other, too.
Ned always does this. Always.
Well, there must be a reason for both of them.
Linda's got to be found. People know there's something wrong now. They must know.
All right, darling. Just try to enjoy tonight, won't you?
He holds her hands.
Oh, I think it's the loveliest party. We must find Linda. Call Nick and Susan. Maybe she's there, Johnny. Please, we must do something.
All right, I'll do everything a gent can under the circumstances.
Oh, you're hopeless.
He walks off, her smile fading again. Julia starts up a staircase. As Ned opens a door.
Oh, Ned.
Johnny finds him.
Hmm? Look here. You know where she is. Linda, I mean. What's up? Well, I'm supposed to find her.
You're not the house detective.
No.
She's up in the old playroom on the top floor. Come on.
They go into the elevator. So, when Johnny finds Linda, exactly what will he find? Quite a lot, actually. Much more in part two of Holiday, next time on Movies for the Blind. In case you haven't guessed, Anne Harding is playing Linda. I first ran across her in two other public domain films I helped describe way back when, The Animal Kingdom with Leslie Howard and Love from a Stranger with Basil Rathbone. I was like, who is this woman and why didn't I know her before? She became stuck in more innocent martyr-type roles in soap opera-type movies and retired for a while when she got married. In the 50s, she came back in more mature maternal roles on stage, on TV, and in films like The Man in the Gray Flannel Suit. To find out more about the movies, about description, and how to subscribe, go to the blog, moviesfortheblind.com, where you can also find out about this podcast Creative Commons license. In case you haven't heard, we're now happy to be on Stitcher, so feel free to subscribe, share, and say lovely things. You can also follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Make sure you're following updates on Facebook. And subscribe to us on YouTube, where we show you how it's done. The movies are from the Internet Archive, so please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at archive.org. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Be back next week. Take care. Thank you.